Welcome, Eagles, to another episode of Trad Cat Night Radio. I am Eric Ajewski, founder and owner of Trad Cat Night, the most viewed and followed traditional Catholic website worldwide, ranked number one in the world as it relates to traditional Catholicism by Alexa, top 25,000 in the world, covering all the current events from a traditional Catholic perspective. I want to thank all of you for your prayers and support over what will be 3 years at the end of December. We're being picked up by many more alternative news outlets, including the giant Veterans Today, who is now picking up my articles and these radio shows. So if you have questions, comments, feedback, send it to me at apostleofmary@hotmail.com. And today's special guest is a blockbuster, folks. So sit back and get ready for this one. Someone you have requested for quite some time. We're able to make it happen. I have Doug Hagman from the Hagman & Hagman Report, and going to get through a wide variety of topics, but if I can, just really briefly going through some of the latest current events as it relates to the latest earth changes, birth pangs news. We've had a number of 5.0 plus earthquakes within the past 24 hours. Argentina, Japan, Chile, a few, Iran, Puerto Rico. Then we had a pretty sizable one in Indonesia, a 6.5, Tonga, 5.1, Dominican Republic, Japan, and China again as well. So a lot going on in that area. Latest current events from the past 24 hours or so. We've got Moscow mocking Britain's war drills and essentially warning them about any potential, further propaganda upon the country of Russia. Then we have another one, ISIS plotting Bloody Friday for Trump's inauguration. I'm going to be breaking all this down into the TCK breaking news section here later tonight. So make sure you subscribe to Tradcat Night to get all the latest. Then, of course, you've got Euro plummeting after Italy votes no on the reform. Now, again, as I mentioned, today's guest really needs no introduction. Douglas Hagman is the founder and director of the Hagman Report, Hagman Investigative Services Incorporated, and the Northeast Intelligence Network. Hagman is a 30-year veteran private investigator who has worked as an operational asset for the U.S. Department of Justice, the FBI, the New York and Pennsylvania State Police. He is the author of Stained by Blood, a Murder Investigation, which was based upon the true story of his investigation into the brutal, frenzied murder of his uncle. He is also the author of Tactical Surveillance, a textbook used for training surveillance operatives. He is the CEO of a multi-state licensed private investigative agency and a senior columnist for the Canada Free Press. He's a frequent guest, as many of you know, on nationally syndicated radio shows, Coast to Coast, AM with George Noory, InfoWars, even appearing on Fox News with Neil Cavuto. Has his own radio show, again, a man who truly needs no introduction. How are you today, Mr. Hagman? And why don't we just get right into it and get your take on the elections, post-election analysis. You know, what's in store for 2017? What do we make about Trump? Is he the real deal?
Wow. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me, Eric, and I really appreciate the invite. The elections, no small topic there, huh? Obviously, or at least in my view, what we're seeing take place right now, post-election, I guess if we can go from today and kind of go backwards and then look ahead, obviously we had a revolt in this country, I believe anyway, of the true traditional hardworking Americans saying, look, I'm sick of Washington. I'm sick of the status quo. I'm sick of this Bush, Clinton, Obama, Soros dynasty. I'm sick of all this. I'm sick of these the way the country is going, contrary to what you heard or what people hear on the news. The vocal or the majority, I believe, in the country are sick and tired of how things are going. And the minority, of course, are more vocal about it. And they're the ones that are attempting or had attempted to force down our throats the Alinskyite communist kind of style government of Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine. And of course, they didn't get their way. And I find it very, very interesting. And I'm sure everyone, you know, hears this. And obviously, I'm sure everyone is sick and tired of hearing this by now, but you know, I find it very interesting that it was Hillary Clinton who said, who was absolutely horrified. Oh my goodness, horrified that Trump would even suggest that he wouldn't accept the numbers, the totals, and seed victory should he lose. And yet we find it's Stein as a proxy for Soros, which is arm's length from Clinton, who is actually being the sore loser in this case. And if you follow the trail far enough, I think you will find that the Clinton camp is embracing and even to some extent celebrating this recount. But at the end of the day, I believe what their intent is, the intent of the globalists behind everything, is to cast a doubt on the legitimacy of the presidency of Donald Trump. I think that that's cast doubt on our system of elections, cast doubt on our representative republic, the ability there to have a representative republic in its current form in the current day. And then, of course, to fight against everything that Trump does in terms of fighting against the new world order or this global governance, which, you know, at its heart is both communist and satanic, I believe. So that's kind of what I see that took place and is taking place right now. So there's a war on. It's a hot war. It's bubbling underneath the surface. Years ago, I had a source tell me that there was the people in power were pushing for a civil war because it's easier to really to take over a country, take over America. You're not going to do it by military force, but if you create a civil war, it's a lot easier to control the country from within than from without. So that's what I see taking place right now. And everything else is kind of an offshoot of all of that, this control for power.
Yeah, I agree with you. When I go on radio shows, I'll be honest with you, I really thought that Clinton would be planted in there. It's kind of interesting how we see how things have turned rather quickly. My question for you is really twofold. Is this the last we see of Hillary? Could we see the rise of Chelsea Clinton even? And two, what about the prospects of the globalists pinning Trump as a scapegoat, if you will, for an economic collapse, which I think we're all pretty much seeing from all camps? I mean, I've had every top economist on, and they're all saying it's imminent, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's a year from now, we don't know. But then also, revolution ties in with that. I mean, could the globalists come in behind Trump and say, hey, you know, nationalism doesn't work. We've got to undertake globalism. Is that a possibility, or is that just...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, in my view, I think, in working backwards from that two-part question, I think right now we're seeing Trump being set up to take the fall for an economic collapse. I think the economic collapse, in my view, not being an economist, you know, I'm not claiming to be one, but it doesn't take an economist to understand the math behind this pyramid scheme that we're in. I think that he's going to take the fall for or be blamed for an economic collapse. And of course, that's going to be by orders of magnitude so much worse than anything that we've seen before, because the collapse is not going to be just national. It may start or appear to start here in America, but it's going to be global. And so he's going to be the pariah, as America will be the pariah of the world. So I think that's the way it's kind of being set up. And I think, too, that assuming Donald Trump gets to election, or gets to the White House, I should say, gets past inauguration. And I'm making that assumption because, you know, obviously you've got the Electoral College fighting it out, and I understand what a long shot that is, or, you know, the Electoral College being I spoke with four members of the 538 members of the Electoral College in the past couple of weeks, and I've seen the emails they've gotten. I've heard the stories. I've heard about the threats. I've heard about the bribes, if you will, all of this. So there's a lot of push against the members of the Electoral College to change their votes or to throw their votes away. It's not that Trump has, or it's not that they want Hillary to get above or 270 or whatever, but it's to the objective is, and people need to understand this, is to caused Trump not to get to 270 and then throw it to the House for a vote and Senate for a vote as well. The House voting for president, Senate for vice president. That's the objective. And again, it's to delegitimize the current system of elections. That's kind of what I'm seeing. So I can't remember where I started out, but that's kind of my thoughts on this.
Now, you and I both cover this Luciferian world government. I have pinned someone who, in my opinion, I think is the Antichrist. His name is Maitreya. He's got a sidekick, a false prophet, to show up. It gets very bizarre. A lot of loopholes, you know, UFO alien agenda. I think you and I both agree that that's, you know, fallen angel, demonic type of stuff. But as it relates to the Luciferian world government, we'll tackle the alien thing later. You know, we're seeing it all over the place. You know, they've obviously overtaken the Vatican, the world governments. What are we to make of this last conspiracy, if you will? I know we use that term very loosely, this whole Pizzagate thing, because we got to be careful when we say conspiracy. You know, I just kind of use that term, you know, very lightly. It seems that the mainstream media has a certain narrative that doesn't correspond to reality. Those who don't want to investigate, I just simply label as dopey Joes. They kind of just take the mainstream narrative, run with it. But what's your take on the latest Pizzagate?
Well, I, number one, I don't like the name that much. And it was interesting because I was just on Alex Jones talking with him. And this what we're seeing, first of all, and I think it's important for everyone to understand, the Pizzagate is reflective of a larger system of criminality. Pedophilia is involved here, in my view, in my professional opinion. Human trafficking is involved here. All of the elements and components of this sickening, most perverse criminality. And, of course, from a biblical worldview, all of this, there's nothing new under the sun, and all goes back to Genesis. It all goes back to Babylon as well. It all goes back to the fallen angels.
Yeah.
Now, having said all of that, I see, for example, what happened on December 4th, Sunday, when a man went into a pizza shop in Washington, D.C. that was named in many of these emails, and I guess he had a gun and something, you know, there was an incident with but I see that as a result of the mainstream corporate Illuminati-controlled mass media creating a narrative and focusing improperly focusing on a business as opposed to focusing on the larger conspiracy. And there is, by definition, I believe, a conspiracy here.
Yeah.
But it's not limited to a pizza shop. And certainly if people think they're going to find evidence already at this point, you know, at one location, it's not going to happen. So we have to look at the broader picture. So, but this at its core, the satanic element of this, in my view, I truly believe the satanic element here is now being uncovered as we approach the end of days. And this is at its heart, at its core, this is the engine behind the world government. This is the engine. This is the really ugly aspect of that was uncovered that is driving the global powers, because it's not just about human trafficking. It's not just about pedophilia. It's about satanic ritual abuse and the incarnation of gods, small g, and the worship of Lucifer, Baal worship and such. That's what this is about. And one last thing, and I'll be quiet. And that's the fact that people look at this and say, oh, that can't be true. Well, you have to look at this not only, you have to shed your Western worldview, and you have to look at this through a biblical worldview, in my view, as opposed to anything else. And frankly, it doesn't matter what we believe. It matters what they, meaning the powers behind this, believe. It's belief, because their belief is the driver of their action, and they're worshiping a different god than we are. Of course, they're worshiping, you know, Lucifer, and that's kind of where all this ties together.
Yeah, everything is inverted. I completely agree with you. You know, everything is inverted. They're trying to make evil appear good. We have what I call a culture or a system of death, which really extends above and beyond now abortion, which should be obvious to everyone. But we now have chemtrails. We've got the poisoning in the vaccines. We have poisoning of the water and food supply. We have organ harvesting now. I mean, this rabbit hole truly runs deep, and it just networks out into all other types of subjects, which calls to mind, you know, people maybe at one point kind of looked at the Georgia Guidestones and saw that as a conspiracy, but there really is a plan in place to depopulate the world so it can be controlled more easily. Maybe you could speak to a little bit more about the culture of death we live in, and then we could follow up with the recent attack of mainstream media on alternative news outlets labeling us as fake news now, which I find kind of interesting.
Well, with respect to the latter question here, or the former question, I'm sorry, the satanic element here. One man I truly respect and I listen to and I follow in terms of his investigations of this topic and everything surrounding this topic is Russ Dizdar. Of course, he's a pastor, but he also advises law enforcement. He advises he teaches classes actually to law enforcement about the satanic element of the satanic ritual abuse. This exists. This is tied into the culture of death, as you stated. That includes, but is not limited to, such things as abortion. And again, people may not believe this, but it's there. Even cannibalism, as we saw with, well, you just take a look at some of the images associated with Pizzagate and all of this. So all of this ties together to create this really ugly and, you know, something you just don't talk about in polite, you know, in polite company. I mean, my goodness, it's horrible. But this is the driver of the action behind the New World Order. Now, how does this fit into the current narrative? And I hate that word. I don't like that word. But how does this fit into the current narrative of fake news? Well, the House just passed a bill. I think it was November, I don't know, 25th or this last month, they passed a bill that it was incorporated in a larger bill that addressed the Russian, or I shouldn't say Russian, but foreign influence in areas of our country, including but not limited to the media. And unfortunately, I don't have that bill number in front of me, and it's got to go through the Senate and, of course, be signed by the president. But it's a larger, I think, appropriations bill. Now, however, the visible component and the more practical component to this is what I found interesting is the Oxford Dictionary just posted their word of the year for 2016, and it's a compound word. It is post-truth, post-truth, as their word of the year. Well, what that means is, and this plays right into the narrative of the fake news, what that means is people are, post-truth is when people fall more toward believing something based on emotion or suspicion as opposed to fact. So what we're seeing is this censorship, ultimately a censorship of the new media, which is you, me, us, others like us, the ultimate censorship, because we are not accepted as journalists, or at least we don't give the party line or give the approved line. We go out and chase the truth or go after the truth. So this is a way to censor us, I believe, without having to pass a law necessarily or to delegitimize us as true sources of information. Because after all, you know, in the post-truth world, using that as a post-truth environment on the internet, what you certainly can't believe us. And of course, you saw the Washington Post create that list of sites, and that's constantly evolving. So if you land on that list, you're not to be believed. Well, you know, it goes back to who checks the checkers and the fact checkers.
Yeah, we're no stranger to censorship here. I mean, I've been banned a half a dozen times on virtually every social media outlet. On Twitter, get this, Mr. Hagman, I cannot post any of my articles. When I go ahead and try and post one of my own articles, it pops up that I'm malicious, you know, some sort of spam. Haven't gotten any response from Twitter, so I'm not expecting to be able to post any of my own material onto Twitter. So I think that's going to be a continued trend. And that ties in with another question I had. Just overall, the attack on Christianity. We're now seeing, you know, coaches not being able to pray with their teams, you know, atheist groups attacking them. We've got different types of hotels and business establishments saying no more to the Bible, you know, putting in some other sort of, you know, material for people to read. You know, one of the interesting things to note in my study with the New Age, ultimately when this Maitreya character arrives, is they're going to abolish Christmas because they're going to say that Christ is here. We no longer need, you know, a Christmas day. We haven't seen anything yet is what I'm trying to
say.
I mean, this is going to get more bizarre by the day. And I think 2017, you know, that first domino may be kicked over, if you will, with the economic collapse. And then it's just going to start to unravel.
Can I ask, are you familiar with Kathleen Keating by chance?
Yeah, you know, actually, she's affiliated with some of the traditional Catholic priests that I'm involved with. Some of the priests, my old spiritual director actually knew Father Malachi Martin, who's been on Coast to Coast really well.
Sure.
The Third Secret of Fatima we talk about, which is the infiltration of the Catholic Church, ultimately an indirect implication of Planet X's arrival. For those who are not aware, who are Christian and not Catholic, our Lord had warned through various Catholic mystics that Planet X was inbound. One in particular, Marie-Julie Jehenny, who has been approved by the church back in the early 1900s, talked about how Jesus said there was an incoming planet to awaken people, basically, but to chastise the world, ultimately. So from a Catholic perspective, yeah, we're talking about a lot of the same things that you are, Mr. Hammond. But yeah, Kathleen Keating, I tried to reach out to in the last few weeks. She kind of fell off of the map when she started tooting the horn.
Yes.
With Maitreya, maybe you can.
Well, I had done some work with her more than a decade ago. And the last I knew, frankly, I can't be of much help, but the last I knew, she had said, look, I'm just going to go off the grid at this point, and please respect my privacy. And you know, don't try to find me. Basically, respect my privacy. I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, kind of giving you the. So, and I've done that. But the reason I brought her name up was she was referencing Maitreya, this Maitreya character. But I think you're dead on here. I think what the objective is, of course, is to outlaw all three monotheistic religions, including Islam, and especially Christianity, and create this state government that really at the epicenter is a Luciferian-based monotheistic religion. When I say monotheistic, the small g or for God, not being Lucifer.
Now, as it relates, we kind of touched upon this a little bit, kind of a rise in the demonic. Recently, I did a little report. It's been said that there's only 400 Catholic exorcists in the world, which is a small number, folks. We're seeing numbers as it relates to possessions on the rise. Certain reports out of Italy are saying some of the priests don't even want to deal with the exorcists anymore and just possession in general. I mean, it just seems like we're being more and more pervaded by darkness. I know I get attacked as being a fear monger, but all I'm trying to do is trying to pinpoint the reality of our times to get people to awaken. So that's like my next question, if I can, because I know people are going to ask me to ask you this, is just the rise in the demonic, and maybe we could talk a little bit about CERN, because I think you've had on Anthony Patch, correct me if I'm wrong, I've had him on, and we've kind of talked about a potential convergence between two dimensions here, which on the outset sounds absolutely absurd. I thought it was absurd till I started connecting some Catholic prophecy with it in an event called the 3 Days of Darkness, where every devil is going to be let loose. What's your take on CERN and just overall the kind of the rise in the demonic?
Well, okay, as far as CERN is concerned, no pun intended there. I had trouble with advanced math in school. All right, so when you get into the multi dimensions and such, my goodness, and you get into physics, yeah. I gotta tell you, I'm as dumb as a box of rocks there. Now, having said that, the demonic, however, I do understand that. I truly believe that we are seeing this this increase in the demonic. Now, how it relates to CERN, I do suspect, just from my discussions with people like Anthony Patch, Josh Peck, Dr. Michael Lake and Steve Quayle and people like that, you know, CERN is the tool that I believe is being used to open the portals to bring in these demonic entities. And of course, Steve Quayle has done a great job in talking about the Nephilim, the demons, and the Raphaim. So, but yeah, I think that the demonic is going to be on the rise. And frankly, you know, with my background, I'd much prefer battling on the physical, you know, with a weapon and an entity or a person I could see than the demonic. But I do realize, being sober and paying attention, I do realize that our fight will be, you know, not necessarily here in the physical, but in the spiritual realm.
Absolutely, yeah. And prayer is most important. Again, I have with me Doug Hagman. Make sure you get to his website, thehagmanreport.com. I'll put direct links into the description box, both of the blog and in the video, so that you have them right there in front of you. Also, get to his YouTube channel, the official Hagman and Hagman Report. Again, he has his own radio show. He brings on special guests as well, covering a lot of the same material that we cover here at Tradcat Night. And again, I know you're very well respected as you know, a radio show host, and the information that you're providing. Maybe if we could get on to the next subject here. And this is an area that I've been asking people to kind of see between the lines, if you will, this whole quote-unquote war on terror. Now, I think you and I would agree that the New World Order has different avenues to kind of unite humanity, whether it's this phony alien invasion coming, whether it's World War III, but they also have this war on terror, quote-unquote, which, in my opinion, is just normalizing the police state. You'll notice after a lot of these events, you'll immediately see troops on the ground after the Paris attack. I think there was 1,000 boots right there on the ground. I think they're just in perpetual police state over there at this point. But it's another way for them to formalize this one world religion. You see, in my perspective, for those who don't know, I do hold Francis as a true anti-pope. I don't even hold him as the true pope. I think Benedict is the true pope. But I think Francis is a Freemason. And every time, you know, some type of event like that happens, he's always coming out and saying, you know, everyone needs to come together in John Lennon fashion, you know, the whole ecumenical program, which from a Catholic perspective is heretical. But what do you make of the war on terror, the emerging police state, maybe tie that in with a potential gun grab? I mean, how can the globalists really pull off trying to grab our guns? Or is that even possible?
Oh, great question, by the way. Well, I believe if we look at history, and I think that we have to look at the past to understand the present and to plan for the future. But I think if you look at what's taking place, even in the recent past, go back to World War II, Islam has been weaponized. Islam as a, and I'll use the word cult here as opposed to religion, Islam as a cult or culture has been weaponized because it can be. And as opposed to Christianity, which really is not inherently violent, doesn't have the allowances there. And people will say, well, the Old Testament. Well, no, we're talking about something entirely different. But Islam has been weaponized by the globalists. We saw in World War II with the Nazis, they weaponized Muslims, and the Muslims actually had their own brigades, platoons that were fighting. We saw it in Afghanistan in 1979 by Brzezinski and Kissinger and others who really created the Taliban that fought against the Russians. And now it's, some might say, well, it's turned its reared its ugly head. This Frankenstein monster has now come after its creator. I don't think that's the case. I think it's being weaponized and pointed inward. Now, that's a convenient way to create a situation of terror, constant terror, 1984 George Orwell type terror, and that's what we're seeing. So, what's the the synthesis and antithesis model here? You know, what's the problem, reaction, solution? Well, the problem is terror. So the solution, of course, is a greater police state, just like, again, 1984. And we've had plenty of source material to show that this is exactly what they're doing. So what I see here is It's going to get so bad, and I do believe that the Muslims, the Islam, is predisposed to conducting terrorist attacks, as we've seen in the Middle East, and by their Sharia, by their fundamental law. I do believe that's going to be used to create, or at least one component thereof will be used to create the terror. And, of course, the response will be an even greater, more oppressive police state here in the West, including the United States. And then as far as the guns are concerned, I'm looking at that. How can they take away 300-plus million weapons, or weapons from 300 million, or however many weapons there are? There's a whole boatload of weapons out here in the United States. Well, they can do it a couple of different ways. They can make the ammunition scarce, and I think that we saw a little bit of that here over the past couple of years. They could, or they could make guns illegal, period. And as part of the one world system of governance, you can't own a gun, and you've got to turn yours in if you want to eat, for example. They can control you through your behaviors, and I think that the surveillance state is part of that. By, you know, the surveillance state will be used to implement this global governance and to make sure that you're towing the line with respect to what you need to be doing. And then, of course, the mark of the beast comes in following that. That's what I believe anyway.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think ultimately Islam will be, there'll be some type of terrorist attack here in the not-so-distant future to ultimately drag us into major, full-out war, I guess is the only way to describe it. I think it was Guccifer who tapped into FBI or CIA files and said it was on record that there would be more 9/11 type of events. He even mentioned Chicago and one city in Pennsylvania, which I find very interesting. And I've had other guests on saying the same thing. That,
yeah, I think it's my city, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. And so, I mean, we could be dealing with, you know, maybe like a half a dozen 9/11s over a shorter period of time, which would really get the police state moving and cause a lot of terror and ultimately get people, into wanting to get into war with Islam. You know, here's a kind of a more general question. I get labeled a conspiracy theorist, the fear monger, you know, your end times, yada, yada, yada. Are you finding, you know, through your work that more and more people are waking up to the reality of the times that we're living in? I kind of call it the 2 Peter 3:3 time, wherein, we're talking about scoffers. You know, there's always going to be scoffers, but there's so many signs that surround us. I find it hard to believe that some of these people are putting in the time and an effort to even investigate all of these areas that you and I cover. What are you seeing on your end? You know, maybe some people who a year ago said you were a nut job came back and said, "Hey, Mr. Hagman, you're dead on." I mean, I got to follow you now. What are you seeing?
Well, it's interesting because I look at the larger picture and equate it to the smaller picture of the election. For example, those people who were staunch Hillary or Bernie supporters. And I mean, I'm talking about rabid supporters and anti-Trump, pro-Hillary, and there's no gray areas whatsoever, no compromise. What I'm seeing with respect to the larger picture of conspiracies or fact that are labeled conspiracies, I'm seeing a divide widen. There's been a line in the sand that drawn, and people are now holding fast to their beliefs, much like the election reportedly has torn. And, well, I've seen this tear families apart, where, you know, if you voted for Trump, you don't bother coming to my Thanksgiving dinner. I don't care if you're my son or not. Yeah, that kind of stuff. So I think in a larger sense, we're going to see that and that divide widen, that ideological divide widen. But the good news, and I believe this to be good news, is that the Word of God is, as we know it to be, and the biblical Word, I believe that more people are coming to the Word, and I think more people will be on our side. And when I say on our side, I'm talking about believers. And of course, we know how the story ends. So I praise God, and I'm thankful for that. But I also see the animus being, getting greater.
Now, as it relates to, you know, the breakdown of patriotism, the breakdown of borders, how, with the election of Trump, does this change the dynamic as it relates to relations with, you know, Mexico and Canada. You know, ultimately they want to form this hodgepodge one world socialist republic, and we of course are in that scheme. They want to form, you know, through NAFTA, Mexico, United States, and Canada. How do you think Trump is going to respond there? And what do you think about his, you know, his words and his terms in terms about building a wall, if you will? I mean, is that feasible?
Well, yeah, I think it's feasible, but I don't know if it's if it'll happen. I do believe it's feasible. Look, I think we can do anything as a country. We can, in fact, deport 11 million people, despite what the people what people say. We can build a wall. We can retain or regain our borders, language, and culture, and maintain it if we so choose. But one man, that being Donald Trump, I don't believe can do it alone or do it. Period. And I think right now people are looking at Trump and saying, "Wow, man, look at those picks. Some of the picks for cabinet positions are really, oh, I don't know." Well, you know, I do think that he has to play nice right now with the GOP establishment, with the Republican establishment. Time will tell after the inauguration, after he settles into the Oval Office. Time will tell. If he gets in there and suddenly loses interest in pursuing criminal charges or pursuing an investigation of Clinton and the Clinton Foundation, if he loses interest in building the wall, then of course we have our answer. And if he doesn't and continues forward, we have to pray for his survival, because we've seen what has happened in the past when, oh, you know, with JFK and other presidents, when they've gone against the gone against the people in power. So, but regardless of all of that, one thing that'll never change is through Trump, there has been a movement, at least in my view, that has been created. And that movement is indigenous. It is organic, much more organic than the riots and protests. It is really coming from the bottom up, from the people, you know, the normal average person like you and I. And we are saying enough is enough. And we know we're sick and tired of the PC, we must accept everything and everyone crowd. We're not going to take that anymore. And I don't, by the way, I don't think, and I'll just say this, I don't think America has a problem with, or the average American has a problem with intolerance. I think we have a problem with tolerance. We tolerate evil. We tolerate a lot of things that we shouldn't tolerate. We tolerate sin and perversity. So, I didn't mean to get off on that, but you know, we have to hold Trump accountable, but most importantly, we have to make the change and retain our change from within, because change happens from the bottom up, not from the top down.
Yeah, I agree with you. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. You know, 2017, from our perspective, I think will be a key year. That'll be the 100-year anniversary of Fatima. So we're expecting some bigger events to happen. Yeah, I mean, who knows? You know, race war card is into play. You know, we had these celebrities coming out saying they were going to leave the country after Trump was elected. Then they all backed down. You know, it's so hard. It seems like their plan is kind of evolving almost, you know, on a day-to-day basis now. So it's kind of hard to grasp, you know, what they're trying to do. But in general, we do kind of know with the puppets that they're putting in place, whether it's Gutierrez. I think you did a report on him the other day. Maybe you could talk about that. But then you got the new Superior General Jesuit Sosa, you know, liberation theology. He's a socialist. Obviously, anti-Pope Francis is a socialist. He actually came out, I don't know if you saw this, Mr. Hagman, the other day. He actually came out and said, "Communists make the best Christians." And I kid you not, he said that. And you know, this guy is just off his gourd, you know, we got to just continue to pray. But his headlines read more, you know, more like a Sunday morning comic than they do anything Catholic. And I do want to reiterate that, you know, he's not teaching Catholicism, folks, and he's not standing even for Christianity, from my perspective. I'll get your comments on that. Maybe you could break down, you know, just this evolving one world socialist republic. I did want to make mention for my non-Catholic listeners, with as it relates to the mark of the beast. Now, obviously, there's a microchip in place, but what the early church fathers talked about, that actually is relates to the Luciferian initiation, which will take place. So ultimately, there'll be some sort of mark. I'm not sure how it's going to look. That Doctor Strange movie that just came out, it was kind of interesting because they had New Age implications. They had this mark on their forehead. Very strange, Maitreya-like figures, ascended masters, and all that good stuff. And even David Spangler, I think, came out in the United Nations and said no one will be able to enter the New Age without that Luciferian initiation. So once you get that, you get your chip, and then who knows, you know, from there where that goes. DNA manipulation. It spins out into all other rabbit holes. But what are you seeing on that front with just these puppets that are now in place, and they're not really hiding it anymore?
I don't think they have to hide it anymore. You know, it's when you look at the cross section of our population, and you look at the people who are asleep versus the people who are awake, it's clearly you're gonna be able to fool. Obviously, the people who are slumbering, you're gonna be able to fool them, and the people who are awake, of course, there will be a deception, a great deception. Many will fall to that deception. And I think that deception, part of that is the perversity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think that perhaps I'm getting off on a tangent there. But all of that said, I'm looking at the whole infrastructure for the end of days to be, it's being constructed rapidly, even more rapidly. I mean, look at the last 15 years since 9/11. Look at how far we've gone technologically with the surveillance state that we have, with the facial recognition, with all of this stuff that we've, oh man, it's incredible. So, you know, all this, all things combined, I think we're on the fast track to the to really the end of days.
Now, I wanted to get back to this topic, the whole UFO alien topic. I know you bring on other guests as well. I think this is an area where you and I and your guests agree upon that it's simply, you know, fallen angels, the demonic, even Our Lady at La Salette, an approved Catholic Marian apparition, talked about how the Antichrist would work with the demons in the air. And I think for the most part, we're talking about the UFO phenomenon. I realize that we have, technology that's 50 plus years in advance. So I'm not ruling that potential aspect out. But I think overall we're truly talking about the demonic and the great deception and Project Bluebeam. What are some of your guests saying in terms of the disclosure, if you will? Because I know one of the reasons why I said, Mr. Hagman, that I thought Clinton would be in place is because it seemed pretty Hillary Clinton seemed pretty adamant that she was going to disclose that aliens were amongst us. But with Trump, I don't think we've had any indication either way. Is that correct?
Not that I've seen with respect to that topic. And I do believe that, and according to all of the interviews that I've conducted, it's almost unanimous from my guests. They believe that this alien deception will be part or the major part of the end times deception. That we've had God or the small g God among us all of the time. I think that fits within your Maitreya model, perhaps. Now, I'm not married to that or any specific model when it comes to that. I'm open and openly investigating and openly researching all of this. But yeah, the alien deception is going to be a big part of it. And I think that they're going to use DNA and science to prove, when I say prove, to show the public, oh, this is true. Look, the DNA matches. You know, whoever, Maitreya, whoever it might be, look, the Savior, the same DNA as the Savior or whatever. Regardless, it's going to be alien related. Yeah,
it's interesting you mentioned that, Mr. Hagman. Yeah, because, you know, I have extensive knowledge on this character. I've been following him for a lot, a long period of time. And he says that the quote-unquote space brothers and the UFOs are staging the way for his arrival. He talks about this new science to come onto the scene. Obviously, when that is relayed, we know what they will say about us creationists, which, they deem us as fundamentalists already, that we've interpreted the Bible all wrong. You know, we need to evolve even more. And that's basically the New Age religion in a nutshell. For those who are not in the know, essentially what you'll see happen is they'll drive away the true pope, in my opinion, Benedict XVI. Anti-Pope Francis will help usher in this false prophet character who will sadly be taken up by many Christians and Jews. And he ultimately is the Robin to the Batman. The big guy is your Maitreya figure. But it's very, very interesting how many loopholes he's tied in with in this particular aspect. If I could backtrack, though, for a second, one of the reasons why I pin him as the guy is because on his website, it shows that he's going to solve all the world's problems, which we know from scripture, right? That he'll come onto the world seen as a man of peace, if you will, and try to play the nice guy routine. Then we know after a certain period of time, he says, nope, off with your heads, you know, off to the FEMA camps, et cetera, et cetera. But we're seeing kind of like a distress, an overall distress of nations, as our Lord talked about. I mean, take a look at Greece, Brazil, United States, Italy now, Germany. All it seems like a lot of world governments are saying now, prepare. So what are you telling the people who are coming to your website in terms of, you know, going off grid, prepping in general, survivalism? I mean, should we go too nutty in this area, or, you know, is this something we should be prudently doing?
Well, yeah, I think we have to be prudent. And I think at least, this is my own personal opinion, just to be clear on this, I believe that we are commanded as Christians to be sober, to be watchful, to occupy until Jesus comes. That I believe that we are going to be, again, this is my personal opinion, I believe that we're going to be subjected to the tribulation. I don't believe that we're going to be raptured out of here before that. I know that's a hot button topic, and you know, but,
I agree with you. Yeah, I completely agree with you. I had Michael Snyder on from Economic Collapse blog, and I didn't realize that there was a lot of individuals, you know, who identify as Christians who actually didn't go along with that, because the Catholic Church has actually condemned a pre or mid version of the notion of the tribulation. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with you there, Mr.
You know, yeah, and the only reason I mentioned that is because part and parcel to that mindset, or to that doctrine, that belief, I have seen so much, at least, again, personally, I have seen people refusing to prepare. And to me, that is irresponsible, because it's not just about you or me as a person. It's about who we leave behind if we die. It's about the people that come after us. It's about our families. It's about our children and grandchildren. So the responsible thing is to, in my view, is to prepare. And also, I don't believe that God gives us or that we are to have a fatalistic view. I believe that we are to fight, that we are to fight against this new world order. We are to fight against the Luciferian beliefs. We are to stand up and give them a run for their money. So, yeah, I think you should prepare. We should prepare. And if we were going to engage, then we have to be armed. And I'm not just talking about guns. I'm talking about spiritually armed. I'm talking about mentally prepared, you know, all of the physical and spiritual preparations go hand in hand with, I believe, what our call is here as Christians. We're not appointed to the sidelines. We're appointed to be salt and light. We're appointed to go out there and spread the word of God, but also not to be wimps, or not to be not to be rolled over, so to speak.
Pushovers or pacifists. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I completely agree with you. That's the one thing that we preach is, you know, faith and hope. Have the wings of an eagle and faith and hope. Keep your eyes open in charity. You know, continue to go out there. And we know everything is happening around us, folks, but we can only control what we can control. So make sure you're staying rooted in prayer, your interior life. Get out there, do works of mercy, help people. I can't control, you know, what Trump is going to do or what Francis is going to do. We can only control what we can do. And so I'm glad to hear you mention that. I would also just add, Mr. Hagman, you know, it's biblically there in the Bible in terms of preparation. You know, we had Noah, you know, preparing obviously for the flood. We have Joseph in the Old Testament preparing for the 7-year famine. And then as it relates to, you know, just a period of tribulation, we must know that God puts us and hands us our crosses so that we can grow in selfless love. Take a look at the 3 Hebrew children. They weren't spared the fire. They were put right into the fire. So God is going to allow us to go through this period so that we can grow in selfless love and so that we can become saints.
If I can just mention this, I believe that within the body of the church, in the larger sense, I believe that what you're talking about here, this is really creating a lot of divisiveness within the body. This is tearing the church apart. One of the issues tearing the church apart. And I think that is another indication of the end of days. I believe that I've talked with people, and I've had people say, look, you know what? I'm not going to prepare. I believe that God's going to take care of me. Well, And everyone's heard this story about the flood, and you're on the roof, and the boat comes, the helicopter comes, no God's going to. Everyone understands that analogy. But what I see even worse is the fact that it's becoming a divisive topic, and I can see it actually being created as doctrine in this new world, one world religion, where you rely solely on what we tell you, and don't prepare. That's just kind of as a side note.
Yeah. Now, what do you make of the whole environmentalist movement? I'm a realist here. I'm going to call a spade a spade. We're constantly calling out the Vatican on this one. Ties in with Agenda 21. Ultimately, we know it's socialist / Marxist. But this whole environmentalist concept, one of the areas I think people are missing, again, when you study the early church fathers, they actually talked about how in the end times, again, from a Catholic perspective, the Pope would be driven from Rome and brought back to its ancient paganism. So, again, I think this is what you'll see here soon as anti-Pope Francis steps to the side. You get the false prophet character put up there. I mean, ultimately, it's a return to paganism. I think Gorbachev even talked about that in his book, with the New Age Charter or something like that. So now we're getting back to this Mother Gaia worship, which is frightening because you got Francis at the top with his ecumenical movement, getting around with these pagans talking about how, we're sinning against the earth when, we're not recycling and we're carpooling. I mean, this is just madness.
Yeah, and part of that is follow the money. Part of that is outright greed, a system of global taxation that just benefits the globalists, the wealthy, the 1%, the people in power, the people in influence. Part of that is, again, just greed. The other part of that is control. If you, you control the tax credits for your carbon output or whatever, obviously you're not going to be able to drive or fly or whatever, or it's going to be limited. This ties into Agenda 21, where everyone's going to live in a container, basically, in the city. And if you want to go somewhere, you public transportation or you hoof it. So all of this is tied together, and I think it would be a mistake if we didn't look at this in a broader sense with a wide-angle lens and say, okay, everything does tie right back to this nefarious agenda of the globalists and the Luciferian New World Order agenda here.
We'll have a few more questions here for Mr. Hagman, then we'll let him go. I know he's busy as well. A main question that kept popping up, as you know, we cover the whole topic of Earth changes and Planet X. I wanted to get your take just in general on the topic, again, maybe just in general about the warning signs from God. We know even from Scripture there'd be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. We try to keep track of all of that type of information. We know in 2017 there's a total solar eclipse coming up, some prominent astronomical signs, September 23rd, 2017, with certain bodies out in space lining up properly. I mean, What is it going to take for people to wake up? If they can't see what's literally going on around them, or is it kind of like an ostrich in the sand situation where they just don't want to deal with reality, maybe?
Yeah, I think there's a cognitive dissonance that exists. I also think that there's a fear factor where people don't want to face reality. I think that they're intellectually and emotionally immature and spiritually immature as well, I believe. I believe that God created the heavens specifically as a calendar, or as for us to note the times and seasons. I think that's biblically accurate. I'm not talking astrology, but I'm talking about the sun. I think that we should pay attention to all of this. And if we aren't paying attention to this as Christians, then shame on us, because I think we've been commanded to be commanded to read the signs in the heavens and on the earth changes. Yes, I mean, volcanoes, earthquakes in diverse places, it's right in the Bible. So if the Bible says it, I believe it, I mean, that's just me. So,
they're prepping on the West Coast. They got the Cascadia Rising, that Pacific Northwest area. Then you got the Los Angeles area. Even mainstream is reporting that essentially the big one is coming. There was out in Costa Rica the other day, I don't know if you saw this, they had a swarm of 400 earthquakes just about within the past 72 hours. Again, not all of them were significant, but that total number is pretty significant. So
yeah, in the wake of that tropical storm there too, actually. All of this, if people are not waking up and saying, wow, things are a little bit different, and not ascribe it to a Rush Limbaugh style. Well, you know, things happen. Earth changes happen. Yeah, they do. But they also happen for a biblical reason. And they get faster, quicker, closer together for a biblical reason. And that reason is to tell us what time it is.
One of the last questions I had for you, too, just in general, is this kind of notion that man across the board is trying to play God and manipulate, as you said, control, manipulate. I tie it back to the culture of self. We've got geoengineering, you know, HARP, scale our technology. We're trying to control the weather even. Then we have the rise of science, which ultimately, from my perspective, I tie back to the sect of Freemasonry, where they ultimately say they want to get rid of the Catholic religion, Christianity in general. That they say that science and reason will overtake faith, big, you know, capital F. Then we've got transhumanism, rise of the robots. I mean, there's just so much going on in the world, but maybe you could talk to a little bit about that as it relates to, you know, man trying to play God. We don't need God anymore. Kick God out of, you know, the education system. It seems just across the board in every area that we look.
Yeah, I find it very interesting when I look at the well, with respect to DNA, for example, and the life-altering changes or the quest, I think they're among the elite, among the globalists, I think there is a quest for immortality. And I think that quest for immortality, in part, is to avoid judgment.
Yeah.
Now, people might have to consider that for a little bit. Maybe you don't agree, maybe you do agree. I don't know. But I also believe that, yes, playing God is part of this system, manipulation of DNA. And I think that manipulation of DNA does fall into, perhaps, the biblical prophecies, the prophecies in the Bible, where we're going to see creatures that we've never seen before. And just exactly, Steve Quayle talks about this, where I think in his book, Angel Wars, and back in, you know, back pre-flood days, where DNA was being manipulated, but not as we know it now, perhaps, but as through the Nephilim. So all of this, and there's nothing new under the sun, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, you know?
Yeah, history repeats itself. It sure does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, in my view, anyway. Yeah.
And so, yeah, we got the rise of these chimeras, you know, eugenics, all of this plays a part of it. And again, I relate back to this 3 days of darkness, because I can never understand how, you know, there's certain Catholic mystics who talk about these 3 days of utter darkness, 72-hour period, get inside, you know, basically pray. I mean, the whole earth will violently shake, you know, will be like in a massive 10.0 plus earthquake. But then all these demons and devils would be let loose. And that's why, you know, I started getting connected with Steve Quayle's work and Anthony Patch. I think we would agree, if you can, by the way, put in a word for me with Steve Quayle. I've been trying to get in touch with him for a while to come on the show. Okay. I know he's a tough get, but you know, I definitely would like to talk to him about what we've been discussing today. But,
sure.
Yeah, a lot going on here in this talk. Wow, it's hard to believe an hour passed. One last question, then I'll give Mr. Hagman an opportunity to get out, you know, any upcoming articles, projects, media appearances. I always like to do that for my guests so they can get out their work or books, whatever you have out there. But, you know, what do you see for 2017? I mean, domestically, abroad, I mean, is this going to be kind of the quickening?
Yes.
Where just more and more events are just going to start to unravel. As you know, it's so hard to keep up on the daily news, Mr. Hagman. I try to do the best I can, but everything just seems to be unraveling very quickly.
Well, I would say expect the unexpected, and I am not very good at, I certainly can't predict the future. I wouldn't even try. However, I would say expect the unexpected, and I see 2017 as a year of extreme change and volatility. Maybe it's not 2017, but maybe it's 2018, but there will be a run-up to, or maybe we're already in the run-up to, that extreme change and volatility. And at the end of the day, I don't believe we can we can't change prophecy. Perhaps we can postpone it. Perhaps we can alter the real estate a tad between now and the end of days. But I think we're in that period that we have to be watchful. And I think that given having said that, I think we should watch the Middle East. I can see where that whole structure, the power structure of the Middle East could change in a heartbeat overnight. We might wake up one day and realize that, hey, you know, a nuclear exchange took place.
Yeah. Guess who, by the way, is going to facilitate Middle East peace in his apologetics, Mr. Hagman?
Maitreya, right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Well, we have a lot to look out for. And I do think that if Donald Trump, if Trump does succeed and gets in and there's no blip on inauguration day or prior to inauguration day, I believe that perhaps God has given Christians a short reprieve. I'm of that belief. Now, I could be wrong, and that may, you know, I say that assuming or presuming that Donald Trump is in fact who he says he is and is doing what he wants to do. But I think we should take this time. Regardless, we should take this time. Prepare, pray, and as I like to say, saddle for battle, because it's going to be a bumpy road.
Yeah, pray for the best. Prepare for the worst. Again, with our following, it's kind of a mixed bag. Some see him as a puppet. Others see him, maybe as the real thing, and they're cautiously optimistic. Again, none of us know. We got to see how this plays out. Wow, what a talk for this past hour. We're going to have to do this again, Mr. Hagman. I know you're busy, I'm busy, but we try to make this happen on a more regular basis. I'll give you the last few minutes here. You know, any upcoming articles, maybe books you're working on, projects, media appearances. Again, I advise everyone to get to his website, HagmanReport.com. Get to his YouTube channel, The Official Hagman Report, Official Hagman and Hagman Report. I know I'm checking it out quite frequently. And, again, we have a lot of common guests, if you will. So do a little shameless self-promotion, if you will, and close it out.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. But I believe that we all have to stick together in these times. And that's one thing that you say go ahead and self-promote. That's really great. And HagmanReport.com, Hagman and Hagman.com, the former, of course, for news articles, information, analysis. I also write for CanonFreePress.com. I've got a book, Stained by Blood, which is available on Amazon. It's actually a true story about the murder of my uncle. My investigation goes back to 1987. If you want to support us, of course, you can purchase a copy of the book. But at the end of the day, I guess I would say this. We are all in this together. If you're listening to this and you're a Christian, then we all have to work together toward what we have to occupy. We have to spread the gospel, spread the word of God, and be the salt and light as we were called to be. We have to play our positions and do it with one another. And the last thing that we need is dissension among the church, the divide within the body of believers. So I would urge everyone just to push forward and to play your positions and pray like we've never prayed before, prepare like we've never prepared before, and by all means expect the unexpected. But let's work together as we move forward from this point on.
What a great talk. I appreciate Mr. Hagman coming on. Yeah, I just want to close once again and just kind of reiterate, this is not about fear-mongering, folks. I predominantly go out to people who I feel are ignorant and try to spread information, try to expose the darkness, if you will. And it is tough at times. I know some people who have to take breaks, literally. I know someone else who has a prominent YouTube channel. He literally can't do it anymore, and he's got to take a break. So what I'm saying here is, in the end, keep your wings spread in faith and hope. We are the light. We have to continue to expose. We have to continue to remain faithful. Please hit that subscribe button to Tradcat Night. Again, we're bringing on guests from all different backgrounds, whether it's the economic background, whether we're talking about more societal things, political level, Illuminati, Freemasonry, you name it. We're trying to cover it all. And this is a big talk, which I'm sure is going to be circulated quite well out in the alternative news media. So until next time, my good friends, stay safe and God bless.